Let's open up our Bibles this morning to Numbers chapter 13. And we'll have a word of prayer. Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful for your gift of salvation. The Lord, we can read about what your Son went through. We can read the plan of salvation in the Word. But dear Lord, I believe we only just scratch the surface of really comprehending everything. But Lord, what we do understand and what we do comprehend, dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we've enjoyed this wonderful plan of salvation. Enjoy the promised land that you put us here in this world, dear Heavenly Father. And dear Heavenly Father, gave us a great hope of the world after this, dear Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, this old world is just decaying and falling apart and destroying itself, dear Lord, from within and without. But dear Heavenly Father, you've given us a hope that there's another land. Dear Lord, where the things of this world will not inhabit that land. The Bible says there's a highway of holiness, and those things that are not holy shall not invade this land, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, we're thankful for that promise, and we ask you to help us to stay encouraged, stay true. There's many things we can look around and see just disappointments and discouragement, dear Lord. But dear Heavenly Father, help us to keep looking up to Christ. And dear Lord, there's never one time been a disappointment. There's never one time been a discouragement. Dear Lord, there's never one time been a failure. You haven't been late one second, dear Heavenly Father, in any of your promises. And Lord, we need to keep that before us every day, dear Heavenly Father. So Lord, we're thankful for your goodness to us. We're thankful for your word. We ask you as we look into the word of God again this morning, dear Heavenly Father, be with each and every one of us that are here, that you just bless the thoughts and the word that we have here and anoint our hearts in a special way with it. We ask you to anoint me, anoint the word that I'll bring it as you would have us to. In Jesus' name, amen. The thought that I'm bringing was, I brought this as during revival and during invitation service. And the Lord just gave me this thought during the invitation service, and I gave you a little bit of it, and after service and things, it's been working with me all week. I thought it was really too good of a thought that I felt the Lord gave to me to not build into a message. So we're going to pick up here in Numbers chapter 13, and this is a story of Moses and the children of Israel when they go into the land of Egypt or into the land of Canaan. They send in 12 spies to spy out the land of Canaan. So Numbers 13, verse 1 and 2, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one of the ruler among them. I want to stop there and look at the thought here that God instructed Moses. He told Moses, I want you to get one man from each tribe, which there were 12 tribes of Israel there. I want you to get one man, and I want one, so there'll be 12 men in total, and I want them to go into the Canaan land. And I want them to search out the Canaan land. And I want them to look at it and bring back a report. And the thought that I want to bring here, sort of a little bit of my main thought here, is found in verse 2, what God said to Moses here. In the middle of verse 2, we'll look at it again. And send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan. And this is the part that I want to relate here. Which I give unto the children of Israel. God has a land for his people. Now, I'm not talking about heaven. I know that's a land too. I know that's a place, but that's somewhere else. But God has a place, a land, a good land. A good place for his people. And I want you to notice what he says. I give unto the children of Israel. I'm the one that's going to give it to them. And when you become a child of God, when you get saved, when you repent from sin, God takes you out of a land of destruction and wickedness and puts you into a good land that he desires for you to live in. An enjoyable land, a thankful land, a blessed land. Even though he's talking about Canaan land back here, it's a spiritual application, a shadow of things to come. God says the same thing. As the children of, I want to bring you into Canaan land. Now, we all know the story. So nobody new here doesn't know the story, so we'll jump ahead a little bit. And we know that was God's intention for Moses and children of Israel, go right into the Canaan land. That's where I want you to live. That's where I want you to, this is the way I have you. But we know that they didn't. And they had to end up in the wilderness for a long period of time. But anyway, that's God's purpose. To bring you out of a land of bondage, a land of sin, and put you in a good land here. He says to search out the land of Canaan, which I will bring unto you. Now you can keep your finger here, because I'm going to come right back. But I want to go over into Joshua. And we know this story here in Joshua chapter 24. And just read a part. And you know the story of Joshua. They had possessed the land by now, and they had came into the land, and Joshua brings all the people and needs to get in to make a request. But in verse 13, Joshua chapter 24, look at what God says to Joshua and the children of Israel here in verse 13. And I've given you a land. God says, I've given it to you. I gave it to you. I give you a land for which you didn't labor. You know, thank God, when we get saved, when we bow before God, you know, we're kind of at the end of a rope. Lord, I just want to get saved. I want to get out of this pit. I want to get out of this terrible situation that I am. And he said, I'm going to take you out. And you and I, we didn't labor for this good land that God put us into. We didn't do anything to, we didn't give money to it. We didn't give time to it. God put us in there. I have given you a land which ye did not labor, and cities which ye did not build. Not dwell in them of the vineyards and the olive gardens, which ye planted not, and do ye eat. So we realize that this is a natural thing. This is a literal thing here, that God took the children of Israel, brought them into the land of Canaan. And he says, I've given you a cities. I've given you a land. I've given you vineyards. I've given you olive yards and things that you did not plant and that you enjoy. And I thank God it's the same thing spiritually. When God saves a soul, thank God he brings us out of that pit and he gives us something that is enjoyable to live in. Yeah. We're still in the same area. Yeah. I still live in the same home. I still work in the same place. I still live in the same community. But God puts us in a different spiritual application when he saves our soul. Yeah. You know, no doubt probably every one of us in here has inherited something in our lives. Our families have passed away. Maybe we inherited a home. Maybe we inherited money. Maybe we inherited a car. And you know, you and I, we didn't do anything to earn it. We just want, sometimes, and when you have wills, and I have wills, and most of the time, most people, our families don't know what's in them wills. And when we pass away, and our families, our children, our sons, or daughters, or grandchildren, they inherit things that we may have. They didn't come and help pay the mortgage. I said, you know, I'm going to help pay the mortgage because I know I'm going to inherit that. They didn't help pay a car payment. They didn't come cut the grass. They didn't fix the roofs. They didn't fix anything. They just lived their lives. But when we pass away and they inherit something, they receive something that they did no work for. And you know what? It's a blessing to them many times. It was a blessing to me. When family members pass and things and that. And God's saying the same thing. He says, so I'm going to give you something that you didn't work for, that you didn't earn, that you didn't give. But God says, that's my desire to bring you into a land over here in Numbers 13 and 2. He goes, I will give unto the children of Israel this land. God has a land for his people. Today, it's a good land. It hasn't diminished one little bit. It had, well, maybe 50 years ago it was good. Thank God it's still blessed land today. I know America has diminished tremendously, and maybe, 100 years ago or something when it was flourishing and things, and you know, back after the Depression and things got well, and it was doing well, and our country was strong and everything. And I know it has faded away, but God's land that he puts the children of Israel or the children of his people into have never diminished one little bit. And saints, we need to thank God for that. We can look around at all the problems, and we can allow those problems to affect our land if we're not careful. We can allow that affect our spirit and can try to bring down our enjoyment of God's land. God has a land. You know what? The enemy of the soul, he has a land for his people too. The devil has a land. And it's completely different than the land that God has. It's a terrible land. It's a land that is deceptive. It is a land that destroys the human being. It destroys the spirit. Destroys the desire, the hope, the ambition. It destroys mankind. And you know what? God gives you and I a choice. He gives us a choice to what land you and I want to dwell in. I can dwell in the land with the enemy of the soul. I can go in there and the appeal, the natural appeal sometimes is there. But sometimes you talk to people and they get into things and they on the surface things may seem to be really well. But underneath in their hidden places of their lives, it's muck. It's destroying, it's tearing up, it's eating them up and things and all that. But God gives you a choice. I can live in the land where the enemy has, or I can live in a promised land that God has for his people. We have a choice. We have a choice of which land to live in. So back in Numbers chapter 13, we're going to look at this a little bit. Picking up in verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. And he said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go you up to the mountains, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in them, whether it be tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether they be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. You know, as I reread that this morning, I never realized that verse was there. You know, I know we've read it many times, but you think about that, what he said there, and what Moses was saying to him, and he told him to bring back some of the fruit of the land, because at this particular time they realized and understood that this was the time that the grapes were to grow. You know, appreciate Brother David and some things he does and the fig trees, and he brings the figs in. And I said, my neighbor, I didn't realize it, but last year, my neighbor had two neighbors down. They have a big fig tree. And I was over at their house, and they're kind of hidden by my other neighbor's garage. And I was by them. I looked up and seen this fig tree. And I mean, it was just hundreds of figs, hundreds of them. Nobody ate them. That neighbor didn't. The one that owned it, nobody ate them. They didn't even, my other neighbors didn't even know what they were. So I kept watching on them, and I kept watching on them until they started to turn. I mean, when they start to turn, you can just pull them and pluck them, and Brother David's brought them in. So there's a period of time when things are ready to be picked, ready to be harvested. And this was that time. And Moses said, go into that land and see what kind of things that the fruit of the land, what they have. So God takes him in there. He goes in there. And look at some of the thoughts here that Moses says to him. We're going to look at verse 18, 19, 20, just some highlights there. He says, Moses says, search out the land and see whether they be strong or they be weak. See whether there be few of them or there be many. See whether it be a good land or a bad land. See whether the people, they dwell in tents or they're in strongholds. Whether they be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. Do you see the goodness that God's land has? I tell you, sometimes we need to encourage ourselves to see the good, to look into the goodness of God's plan of salvation. As saints of God, look into the good things of the plan of salvation, the good land that God has put us into. Sometimes we have heard this expression that's been said many times. Count your blessings. Count how God has been good to you. Count how God saved you. Recount the things of how God's healed your body, how God has encouraged you, how God has blessed you, how God has given you peace over and over and over and over. Do you see the good of the land that God has for you? Do you see these things? You know, the Bible in Galatians there, he talks about different things that we are as a fruit of the Spirit. He said, do you see, and I'm using these words here that Moses said here in 17 or 18, 19 and 20. He said, do you see the love that God has for you? Do you see the joy? Do you see the peace? Do you see the long suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith, the brotherly love, the blessings, the comfort? Do you see those things? Or are you looking for the negative? Are you looking for the bad things? Are you looking for the evil things that are around all the time? The 12 spies went into the land of Canaan, and all 12 came back with a good report. They all came back with the same report. Verse 23. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from there hence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. What they brought back is plenty of food to eat in a land. Now, this is naturally things. You know, if you want to go somewhere and live, you know, many of us have probably been out west somewhere. You know, I've been out, we flew out to Vegas one time and went to Zion and Bryce and everything. And when you leave Vegas, you get a mile or so outside of Vegas. And I mean, it is desolate. I mean, actually, the first time we made a trip, I don't know where, we didn't go to Zion, I don't think, we went somewhere. But the next time, and they told you, they said, don't leave without water, a lot of water. And we get a couple miles, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes outside the city there, and I, there was a little bit of a fear. You know, you're talking about 102, 103, 104 temperatures. And I'm thinking, and the cell phone you might as well throw away. You lose cell reception. And there was a little bit of a fear there. I'm thinking, you know, you get another half hour outside of the cities, there's no one. You don't pass a car for a long time. And there is nothing nowhere. You break down and you can't, well, we'll just stand outside. It's 105 degrees outside. And you better have some water there. And hopefully somebody comes by. So you say, well, I want to go out here and build a house. You wouldn't do that. But what you would do is go somewhere where the ground is well, where there's water flowing. Many times they built cities around the spring of the water where they couldn't cut the water off. The water was there, where there was plenty of food. And that's what they brought back, a good report. They said, this is a good land. This is what we call the promised land. A land, they said, that is flowing with milk and honey. That term means, that implies, a land extremely well suited to growing food and raising livestock. Now you have to realize, you have to balance this out between natural and spiritual. When I'm talking about the land that God has for us and His land today, and that is the same thing. It's a good land that benefits everything that we need today spiritually. I'm not looking for a piece of property to grow livestock or grow things. Thank God we've got stores, we've got things around here. God bless us that way. But for them, that's where we're looking. Of land flowing with milk and honey that is suitable to growing food and raising livestock. An abundant supply of food. That was in 27. And surely, I meant to read on down through there, but let's just read verse 27 there. And they told him and said, we came into the land where thou sendest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit thereof. They all had that good report. Amen. But 28. Nevertheless. It's a good land, but there's a problem. There's people in the land that are strong, that dwell in lands, and cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people more before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are more than able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we not be able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land though we which have gone to search is a land that is eaten up, an inhabitation thereof, and all the people that we saw, and in the men of the great stature. And there we saw the great giants of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own eyes grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight also. God told Moses in verse 2, I have a land that I am going to give to you. I want you to go and spy out the land, look at the land and see this good land, and come back and report. And Moses, I want you and the children of Israel to go into that land. But they had an evil report. They went in, and you know what? Many people, now follow me with spiritual application. There are many people, they may see the plan of salvation. They may see people that are saved. People that, as Brother Danny mentioned, that may go to church on a regular basis. People that are good people. They're Christians. You see a pattern of good works in their lives. They may see that, but you know what? They may desire that. That's a good land. That seems to be those people are happy. They're enjoyable. The song that I sing where it said that he's out in the sea and he sees the old ship of Zion and they're singing and rejoicing. And he has a desire to board that ship. And he wants to board that ship. And that's the way many people are. They see the joy of the things of God. But that word, nevertheless, they see all the other problems that hinders them from going into a land that God possesses and desires for them to possess. God has a wonderful land for you in salvation. And the devil keeps people from that land because they look at the Hittites. Spiritually, they look at the ones that maybe a backslider, or they won't look at the different problems and the Bates and all these things. They just look at the Hittites and Jebusites and the Amorites and the Canaanites. They look at the problems of the land. It's too much for me. I can't handle that.
That's right.
Well, you know what? I can't, and you can't either. It takes the grace of God for us to get saved and go right in there. The children of Israel could have been killed just like that. They'd have been wiped off the face of the earth. But God, once they finally got through in the wilderness and for 40 years and they went into the land of Canaan, they still had to go after those same things. God didn't say, well, they all died, now you can take it. No, they had to go in there and still win the war. They had to still go in there and beat the different lands there in the different countries and different cities. They still had to go there, and God gave them the victory. The very first one of Jericho, they didn't win. They didn't do one thing to that land or that city. They walked around the city. They obeyed God, and God brought the city down, and they were overcoming. Let me tell you what, you may see the bad things of the land. You may see the wicked things of the land. Sometimes that's what the devil enhances onto us. But you're going to have to overcome that by the grace of God and come into the land that God has for you and I. God has a land for us. You know, I walk around this world and I own the job and our homes, our families, our neighbors. It's a constant, constant, constant battle to be encouraged. I see things in my family. I see things on the job. Sometimes we see things in the church. And we say, well, this is bad. You know what? It may be. But by the help of the Lord, I need to pray to get victory. I just need to leave that alone and move on with life.
Yes, right.
Allow God to allow me to live in a good land that he has for us. Mm-hmm. You know, all of us would love to go back to Adam and Eve and go back in the garden and just dwell there. Well, that is a land, but that's reserved for heaven. Mm-hmm. That place is reserved for heaven. Through all the wickedness will be taken away. But God says, I want you to dwell in a land with all these things that I'm going to help you with. Are you dwelling in the land that God wants you to? There's a song in her songbook. I didn't write the title down. I just wrote a verse or the title. Let me get the title here. Song in a songbook says, the title is, O Church of God. And the chorus says, O Church of God, I love thy courts. Thou mother of the free. Thou blessed home of all the saved. And this is the part that I wrote on my notes here. I dwell content in thee. Oh, but brother, look at the problems. I know. But I'm dwelling and content by the grace of God and the land that he's put me into. It's a good land. A good land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, sure, there's Amorites over there. There's Canaanites. There's Jebusites. They're all around me. They're all trying to destroy me. But by the grace of God, he's going to allow me to dwell in a good land that he has prepared for me. I didn't choose the land, really. God says, this is the land I want you to be in. And even though in all the problems, God can take us through this good land and help us to enjoy life. Are we dwelling in the land that God wants for you? Or are you looking at the giants? Are you looking at the cities that are walled high and all those things spiritually, so to speak? Are you looking at those things? You know, Jesus told the disciples one day, did you see this mountain? If you say unto this mountain, remove thyself by your faith, it can be. Let me tell you what, we have some mountains in our lives. I look at some of the mountains, not a physical mountain, a spiritual battle or thing. We look at some mountains, Lord, I don't know. But time after time after time after time, God has helped me to, maybe not, thank God. You know, he don't always take us over the mountains. Sometimes he takes us through the mountains. Sometimes he takes us around the mountains. Sometimes he says, you just stand here for a while and I'll remove the mountain for you. But God says, as long as you follow me, as long as you stay in the land, I'll provide for you. Amen. I'll take care of it. People dwelling in the land of promise sometimes get despondent. We do. We stay in the battle year after year, year after year, and sometimes we can get despondent. We can get discouraged. Sometimes we go sit on the side and we have a little pity party. Lord help me.
Yeah, it's easy to do.
Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 19. In 1 Kings chapter 19, here was a man that got despondent. A man named Elijah. And Ahab told, verse in chapter 19, verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. Verse 2. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the God do to me, and more also, if I make not my life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that he had rose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. Look at verse 4. And he himself went in a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. There's not a one of us probably here haven't gotten that way from time to time. We've been living for the Lord any length of time.
True.
In different degrees. Lord, I'm tired. I'm done. I'm done. Elijah just came through a tremendous victory.
Amen.
Count me weird. Sometimes when I see people in the Bible that have a great victory and then a huge defeat, I'm encouraged at this point. Sometimes when I have a huge defeat, Lord, that's not the end. God can help us to get up. God doesn't say, well, look, he beats on us, whatever. He's, come on, get up. Get up. Elijah had just had all 400 prophets of Baal. And he got them together. You know the story. He got an altar. He goes, let's choose which God we're going to serve. And he got an altar together and he put the woods and everything. And he told him, he says, you call upon your God first. And they called upon him. They cut themselves. They were dancing on the altar. And God and Elijah was making fun of them. He goes, maybe your God's away. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he isn't listening. After a period of time, Elijah said, okay, that's enough. Elijah fixed up the altar, and he brought waters of Baal and saturated the altar, where water was around the altar, a trench was around it. Didn't take 2 days, 3 days, a couple hours. Elijah called on God, and like that, he rained down fire and burned up the altar. And all the prophets there, they killed all the prophets. There were 400 prophets. What happens if, I don't know how much time this was, might have been right away. But this woman, Jezebel, she heard about it and she says, I want you to send a message to Elijah. She goes, I'm going to do to him what he did to the prophet. So I'm going to kill him. By tomorrow this time, you're going to be dead. He takes off running, hiding. He gets there. He finds a juniper tree and he requests for himself, Lord, why don't you just kill me? God had Elijah in a wonderful land, a good land, blessed him, anointed him, and gave him a great victory. And all those things, there's 400 prophets and all that. But one woman allowed him to run for his life. Sometimes we may have great victories on large things, and some little small idiotic thing over here gets us to stumble. Verse 9. And he came hither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here? Elijah, what are you doing? Why are you here pouting? Why are you here hiding? What's wrong with you, Elijah? Verse 10. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. You know, there again, what we've said sometimes, with people just forsaking God, you know. At one time, there was a lot of people here. At one time, you may have had to get here early. At one time, we used to have people at the doors, I think Brother Reynolds, and they would help them to find a seat. Last week in our revival, we counted somewhere over 60 people here. Thank the Lord. We had a good crowd. It really looked nice. The one lady that always come, the black lady, her friend came earlier, poked her head in the door and looked in there. I was up here. I seen her poke her head in the door and she looked around and she just went, oh my God, she probably didn't know where to sit. And it was crowded. She almost, that was the way it used to be.
Yeah.
Not that way anymore. Elijah says the same thing. Verse 10. Israel hath forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain the prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And God tells him, he says, Elijah says to him, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and there was a great strong wind, rent the mountain and break it into pieces and rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. You know, Sister Ann mentioned about some of them churches that are so loud you can't hear yourself think. They got bands and drums and guitars and steel guitars and making all kind of noise and people shouting and running and doing all kind of things. I'm not going to say everything, but I don't believe God's in those things. The Bible still says, do everything decency and in order. But the Lord was not in the wind, after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Here's where some people have trouble. And after the fire, a still small voice. I tell you, God has never came to me, and I don't ever come at us in a bold way. Boom! It's been very subtle, very quiet. This is the way. Walk in. This is what I want you to do. Even in correction. Can you remember? I guess you might. I can remember my parents. All my parents, especially my dad, all they had to do was look at me sometimes. Had Christmas or whatever. Maybe I was getting a little rowdy or whatever. Just having too much fun. Snap his finger and he'd point at me. That's all he had to do. He didn't have to yell at me through the crowd or say anything. It's all he had to do. And I knew it. And God sometimes, all he has to do is just very subtle. You need to behave yourself. You need to take care of that. He said a still small voice. Jump down to verse 18. And God tells Elijah, he says, yet I have left 7,000 in Israel. All the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. Sometimes there's just a few here, a few there, a few in this congregation, a few in that congregation.
God says, I have a people. And I have a church. I have a place for you. But Lord, I like to be where there's 100 people. Well, maybe. But God says, this is where I need you. In this place. This is where you can flourish. This is where you can benefit. And too many times people still looking at the problems. And you know what they do? They go and they live in the wilderness for years. I'm not willing to go over into Canaan land. I'm not willing to fight the Amorites and the Hittites and Jebus. I'm not willing to go after that because of myself. I just can't handle those things or whatever. They don't have trust to God to take care of it. And they go, and the children of Israel, they had to go and live in the wilderness for 40 years. God says, okay, if you're not going to do what I tell you to do, you're not going to possess the land, good, you're going to live in the wilderness for 40 years. Stay there. That's what people would rather do. I'd rather just live in the wilderness instead of enjoying the land that God has for us. God told Elijah, I got plenty. I got 7,000 that haven't bailed to me. Another song in a songbook says, beyond this land of toil and care, beyond this veil of gloom, there is a land, a happy land, a place we call our home. And I know that songwriter meant me referring to heaven, but I thank God we can be right here in this place. There is a land that we toil and we care in and we have battles in. Beyond the land, a veil of gloom. In this land, a happy land, a place we can call our home. I thank God that salvation gives us a good place, a peaceful place. Peace here. To lay our head down in the middle of the night and just go to sleep. And not be worried about all the politics that are going on in the world. The problems that are going on. I've mentioned to you many times, more and more as I see corruption just expanding and rising. And the school systems and all these things. And the influx of illegal immigrants and all those things. That it's just not right. And sometimes the arrogancy of their, well, we're going to come here and possess the land. Go ahead. I tell you what you're not going to possess. You're not going to possess the land of heaven unless you get saved. You can possess it all you want. You can take it. You can destroy it. You can do whatever you want. By the grace of God, I can still live in this wicked world, and God can give me peace and blessings and enjoy the things and a hope beyond this grave that people of this world that they want to possess and destroy, they cannot have it. Amen. They can't have it. I thank God he gives us that land. There is a home for the soul. But we can have the land today. We can have that land today flowing with milk and honey. That spiritual land. A land that we can prosper spiritually. A land that we can be fed with the living word of God. I thank God for the living word of God. It doesn't change. It doesn't have to change. Oh, we got to change it. That was written thousands of years ago. This is still the same. Amen. When I stand before God at the judgment bar, I believe this is one of the books. You can change it all you want to, but this is what God's going to bring us to judgment under. And I thank God we can have a desire as that fig tree comes in and the grapes. I don't know if some of you go to, I think Costco's may have it, but I know we deal with Sam's Club. And Lynn every once in a while will go to Sam's Club and she'll get a thing of grapes. I mean them grapes almost don't fit in your mouth. They're so big. They're enjoyable. I'm talking natural, but I'm also spiritual. Thank God we can enjoy some of the wonderful blessings here in this world. Some of the fruit of the land that God has for us, the spiritual fruit that God has for us. As I said, many people, they desire to live in the wilderness. But that's not where God wants us to go. Let's go to Psalms chapter 40. God draws a picture here. David draws a picture here of the land that the enemy has and the land that God has. In verse 1, he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit.
out of a miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he put a new song in my mouth and praise unto my God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Thank the Lord. People that are in sin, they're in that pit of sin. And sadly, there are people that are in a pit of sin. They believe there's too many of them. They think they're in the promised land. They think they're in a good land, a godly land. But it's a pit. And David says, he says, I was in that pit one day. And I thank God that God waited, was patient with me. And he listened for my cry. And when I cried, when people get her in that pit, and that sinful pit, and it's sad, oh, I'm enjoying the good land, until they come to realize I'm in a pit of sin and I cannot get out. I'm lost. I'm doomed. I tell you, Brother Harley's message on Thursday, when we were there, I'm going to call him. I meant to text him, but I'll call him later on. I appreciate it. I always tell you, I enjoy your testimonies. I don't know if I remember hearing his testimony before, but I appreciated his testimony. He told, and he got emotional with it. And he said how he and Sister Judith lived in Pennsylvania before they were sinners, or before they were saved, and they were having a life, just enjoying life, and drinking and all the things that they, he says, but he was miserable there. And he said to Sister Judith, how about we go back to West Virginia? She said, okay. They went back to West Virginia. And he said, but just because I left there and come here, he said, I was still miserable. I was miserable. He goes, and I came to church and I was determined. I can't remember how he got there or whatever. He told a little bit. He goes, I was determined. I'm not going to get saved. I'm not coming to an altar of prayer. I'm not going to do that. God talked to his heart and God broke him down. Got into a fifth sea, in a place, a miry pit. And he finally cried out to God. And God heard his prayer. And if you're saved, I'm saved tonight. God heard our prayer one time. And it says, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit. And he put and out of a miry clay. He brought me out of the land that the enemy had us locked in, tied up in, bound in. And he brought us out of that pit. And he put us in a good land. He put us in a good land. And set my feet upon a rock. And he established my goings. And he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I say, Lord, help us. I tell you, don't be walking around saying, well, this is a problem, that's a problem, this is a problem. We were at that celebration of life last night, or yesterday afternoon, and we sat at the table, and other people were there. We didn't just Lynn and I. We didn't know any of the people that were sitting at our table. And a gentleman, I think he's in his 70s, retired, and he and I talked quite a bit. And he had a camper, and we were talking a little bit about boating and campers. He goes, one thing I noticed about people that are boating and people, they always just wave each other. Now, he lives on Eastern Shore now, and he said when he moved to Eastern Shore, they told him, they said, make sure you wave to all the farmers that go by you. And he goes, that's the way it is. And I remember we used to hunt over there. Every time Dad and I ride down the road, they wave. I said, who is that? He goes, I don't know. They wave. I said, you know what? Sometimes we were talking about boating and camping. I said, people get together. They don't want, there's all kind of problems in both of our lives. We just have issues in the world, issues here. But when we get there, we don't want to talk about them. Let's just talk about good things. Let's talk about enjoyable things. Saints of God, there ought to be some enjoyable things, not talking about the problems of the Hittites, where there's battles, there's walls, cities, there's giants, there's all these problems. Think about the good things of God. He put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. When people get sick of sin and sick of the giants, they'll cry and they'll look to God. The children of Israel knew it was a good land, but they looked at all the challenges and they said, we can't possess it. You know, Jesus tells us to count the cost.
Yes.
He said there was people that built a city, and because they didn't count the cost, they didn't have enough funds to finish it and left it unbuilt. And people mocked them.
You know, if we're saved, we're living for God, and somehow the giants, the Hittites, the Jebusites, somehow they get to us. We say, you know what? I'm done. Our family, as friends, people will mock. Oh, they couldn't make it. They couldn't last. You and I have friends that maybe we haven't seen for 20 years. You know what they ask us? Do you still go to church?
Yeah.
Thank God I'm still in church. Thank God I'm still a part. There are some of our friends today. They know I'm in church on Sunday and Wednesday. They don't even know to text me. I've had some of them, they'll text me on a Wednesday. And I'll get back to them because as soon as I sent the text to you, I realized it was Wednesday and you were in church. Does your neighbors and your family, your people, they know you're dedicated to serving God because He's given you a good land. Or you look at all the challenges. I don't know. And you and I, we cannot defeat the Jebusites and the Hittites and the walls. We cannot defeat it ourselves, but it takes the power of God. And He is able, more than able, to give us the power to overcome the challenges that the good land He wants us to be in. Are you looking at it? Are you looking at the good land? If you are, what is keeping you from enjoying the land that God has for you? I said, Lord, help us. Help us that this land never gets dull to us. You know, we know the story of the children of Israel. And as Elijah dealt with them, they lost their relationship with him. They started joining in with other nations. They started marrying and intermarrying and worshiping idols. They started doing all kinds of things. And they lost their relationship with God. But thank God, God can keep us pure. Not to join in with them, not to accept those things, not to accept the things. He said, well, you need to do something to build the church up. I had somebody doing revival. I invited them and we talked a little bit about it. They came and they said, how are you going to get some young people in? I think they go to the church up there too on Mountain Road. She said, how are you going to get them in? I said, most people don't want the truth. They want to come here. They want to come somewhere and sit and not be responsible. Hear maybe a good message, something, no responsibility, and they're going to leave and live their life and not be questioned about it at all. That's the way people are. They want to go into the Canaan land, but they want to do as Lot did. We talked about Wednesday. They want to go live with them in the cities and dwell with them. They don't want to keep themselves regarded from them. Do you see the good land? I hope you do. You say, well, I've been saved for a long time. But every once in a while, just close your eyes and look at the good land God has for us. It's a wonderful land. There's nothing in this world that can compare to it. Nothing. It's filled with fruit. It's filled with good things that for God's people. Are we enjoying it? Are we blessed by it? Well, help, Lord bless you. You want me to bring a song? Did you have a song? Or you want me to? What was the one song? See if I could sing that one. Let's see if we can do that song. Page 473. Beyond this world of toil and care, beyond this veil of gloom, there is a land, a happy land, a place we call our home. Oh yes, we'll trust Him while we live, we'll trust Him when we die. And then when all our work is done,
will reign with him on high. Oh, what a blessed hope is this, an anchor to the soul. And if we do our Savior's will, we'll safely reach the goal. Oh yes, we'll trust him while we live, we'll trust him when we die. And then when all our work is done, we'll reign with him on high. To enter heaven we must be pure and holy in his sight. And every day we truly must be walking in the light. Oh yes, we'll trust him while we live, we'll trust him when we die. And then when all our work is done, we'll reign with him on high. We'll pray for God to keep our feet upon the cornerstone. We'll give our hearts and lives to him, for we are not our own. Oh yes, we'll trust him while we live, we'll trust him when we die. And then when all our work is done, we'll reign with him on high. Amen. There's a time of rest, but that's after our time of work. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in our job. Good to see each one this morning. Again, continue to remember those that aren't well. Sister Carol, Brother Mark, Sister Linda, Brother Walter and his wife, Sister Gail, remember them, and anyone else that's not well, so pray for them. Anything we need to mention before we prepare to dismiss? All right, we'll be dismissed. Brother Danny, would you dismiss us, please?